Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. Listen each week for updated content and be sure to share with your friends. We hope this podcast is a blessing and a resource to you as you pursue God daily.
Today I want to talk to you about the greatest trade of all time. Somebody say the greatest trade. The greatest trade of all time. It reminded me years ago when my oldest son, who's now 14, he was 8 at the time, he comes to me after school one day, and man, he is fired up. He's fired up. I mean, I don't know where he gets it from, but he just gets fired up. And he's like, "Dad, you won't believe what happened today at school." And normally, he's not too fired up about school, but he was fired up this day. And he says, "Son, what happened?" He said, "I got something good." He said, "I made a trade, and I got something amazing." And he had in his hand a football card. You know, y'all seen football cards before? Okay, nobody has. They exist, I promise. A Leonard Fournette. Y'all remember Leonard Fournette? He was a man. A Leonard Fournette rookie autographed NFL football card. He said, "Look what I got, Dad." I said, "How did you get that?" He said, "Dad, I made a trade." And I'm thinking, and I said out loud, "What on earth do you have to trade for that?" I'm thinking, "Bethany, do you have your wedding band on? Search the house to and fro. What has this kid gotten a hold of that he goes to school and he comes back with this card? What trade was made?" He said, "Dad, you know next steps at church? Our assimilation process, where people can become members and plugged into the life of the church and become in a small group and serve on the weekend." And he didn't say all that, but I'm giving a little plug here. He said, I got one of the next steps pins from church and I brought it to school and I made this trade. I mean, y'all know, whoever that poor kid was that has a Next Steps pin, he made a bad trade. And I thought to myself, I said, my future is secure. Man, I don't even need to save in my retirement. My son's gonna take good care of me. Today, I wanna talk to you about a trade that's far greater than this. A trade that only Jesus can make. And it's in Matthew chapter 27. It'll be on the screen, or you can look in your Bible or on the notes as well. I'm so thankful for our notes on the app. It's so cool to have that. Matthew 27. That's what it says. "Now it was the governor's custom each year during Passover," we'll come back to that in a moment, "celebration, to release one prisoner to the crowd. Anyone they wanted." This year there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. Somebody say Barabbas. "As the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who's called the Messiah?' He knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy." Verse 20 says this, "Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, 'Which of these two do you want me to release to you?' The crowd shouted back, 'Barabbas.' Pilate responded, 'Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?' They shouted back, 'Crucify him.' 'Why?' Pilate demanded. 'What crime has he committed?' But the mob roared even louder, 'Crucify him.'" Let me give you this picture and context of what's happening here, a very important scene that's actually recorded in all four Gospels. There is a man by the name of Barabbas who's been arrested, and then Jesus has been arrested as well. Pilate is the governor over the region of Judea. That's the southern territory of Israel where Jerusalem was. And Pilate is having this trial, and it's during the week of Passover. And Passover, I want you to lean into this, is very significant because Passover was first instituted in the book of Exodus. Some of you are familiar with this. In Exodus, the 10th plague that came to deliver God's people out of bondage in Egypt was the Passover, was during Passover, that's when it's instituted. And that was when they had to take the blood of the lamb and put it where? On the
doorpost of the house. Good, you guys know your Bible. The doorpost of the house. And anyone, not just the Egyptians, but any of the Hebrews who did not have the blood on the doorpost, then the death angel would take the firstborn child. But anyone who had the blood on the doorpost, the death angel would pass over that house and the son would be saved. Here we are thousands of years later, and the true Lamb of God during Passover was standing before a mob and standing before Pilate, and they were calling for his life. John the Baptist, I love this, in John chapter 1, verse 29, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says when John was baptizing, he sees Jesus. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the earth." Here, the spotless, pure Lamb of God was standing before Pilate and standing next to Barabbas. I want you guys to put that picture up. Thank you. Jesus was pure and perfect and holy. He was a miracle worker. Can I get a good amen this morning? He performed signs and wonders. And here he is in chains, has been beaten. And meanwhile, there's another guy there, Barabbas, who is a notorious sinner, who is the personification of evil. He has hate in his heart. He's a thief. He's an insurrectionist. He is a murderer. And Barabbas stands there, and he represents humanity. I know we don't like hearing that. Barabbas represents me? Absolutely. And he represents you because all of us miss the mark when it comes to what God's expectation is for our life. And you have Jesus on one side, the spotless, pure Lamb of God, who had never committed a sin, who never done anything wrong, who is, hear me, the Son of God. And Barabbas on the other side, who most scholars and theologians believe that Barabbas was actually a title, a nickname, but it wasn't his name, and his name most likely was actually Jesus. Isn't that crazy? Jesus and Jesus Barabbas. Same first name, a little different lives. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And his name, Barabbas, that nickname means Son of the Father, but not the heavenly Father, of an earthly Father. And in this moment, the greatest trade of all time took place. And I know we might be thinking, wait a second. No. Jesus didn't make this trade. This trade was made for him. Let me just make sure we're all on the same page. We all understand theologically and biblically what really is going on. No one takes Jesus's life. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 18, no one, not a man or a woman, takes my life, but I freely lay it down, and I have the authority and the power to raise it back to life. How many of you are glad you serve a king like that? Make no mistake about it. There was only one person in control. There was only one person who was making this trade, and it wasn't Pilate, everybody. It wasn't Barabbas, everybody. It was not the religious leaders who were so infuriated with Jesus because he said things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He says, I am the door. I'm the light of the world. If you want anything to do with heaven, then you have to have everything to do with me. It was not them who was in control. It was not the mob who was in control. It was not the people who were there who was in control. Jesus and Jesus alone was in control. Come on, if you're thankful that he's in control of your life, come on, give him a great praise in here if you really believe it. This fires me up. Because I think about my own life. I think about this moment. And I think about the trade he made for me. I think about the trade he made for you. The greatest trade of all time. That Jesus freely and willingly took my place. I got just two thoughts for you today. First one is this, receive grace. Somebody say, receive grace. Receive the grace of God. Here's a definition of grace. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. Grace is a gift. It's unmerited favor. And before we think we're okay and, man, I'm good, I don't need grace. You might be good, but you ain't that good. All of us need grace. You might be like, I don't know, make pretty good decisions most of the time. But how many of you ever made at least one bad decision? You ain't raising your hand, you're lying in church today, everybody. We sin. We miss the mark. We fall short. And the Bible says this, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned. It doesn't say just some people. Just people in Alabama sin. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this is something that everybody needs. But until you see yourself as a sinner, you will never recognize your need for a Savior. And I know what David Ray is really like. I know what my propensity is to. I know that I don't, just like I don't navigate to kale salad, I navigate and just find myself drifting into crumble cookie. Talk to me, somebody. Wouldn't that be great if we had crumble cookie after service? We don't, but that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? I don't just naturally just drift into holiness. I drift into the flesh, but the grace of God has saved me, everybody. Come on, the grace of God will meet you where you are and redeem you and bring justification to your life. But it's a gift of God that we all need. I thought about it this way. I brought a $100 bill. Ooh. How many of y'all remember when $100 would go a long way? Seriously, yesterday, I go to Winn-Dixie. God bless Winn-Dixie. I go to Winn-Dixie. I get just a handful of items. I go to check out at the counter, at the register, and they said, that will be $98. I said out loud, are you serious? I couldn't believe it. Okay. $100. How many of you have been here at Denham and Ascension, watching online, put this in the chat if you take this tray. How many of you, if I said, hey, I will give you $100 if you give me $50. Who's taking that trade? Okay, simple math. 100% return right there. I mean, you say, that is a great trade. Okay. Grace is greater than that. Billy, come on over. Clap your hands for Billy. Grace is, I am giving Billy the $100. He didn't cut my grass today. I don't think so. If you did, I appreciate that. I am just giving it to him because there's a relationship of love and connection that I say, Billy, I want you to have this. You can go sit down, Billy. Clap your hands one more time for Billy. Oh, no, you take it. I will need it back. Billy, I will need it back, though. That's not even my $100 bill, Billy. How many of y'all love spending other people's money? God bless you, Billy. Have a good day. $100, hear me, will impact your day, but grace will impact your life. $100 will buy you and your family a decent meal, but grace will turn your family upside down. $100 will get you a little ways, but grace saves everything about you. And I've just come here today to tell you this. You're not saved based on what you do. You're saved based upon who he is and what he's done. And I love church. Man, I think we need to have a packed church. But your church attendance will not put you in heaven. It will not save you. I believe in the tithe, but tithing will not save you. I love it when we take communion, but communion will not save you. I love it when people get baptized up there, but baptism will not save you. I'm getting fired up. Billy, give me that 100 back. You take a rest. My heart's beating fast. Only grace will save you. Only what the cross has done and Jesus has done on the cross will save you. Only his resurrection power will save you. Receive his grace. Don't reject it. Don't resist it. Oh, I can't receive that. I'm not good enough. The enemy will lie to you all day long. He will deceive you all day long. He is a deceiver. He's a liar. And some of you, God's been knocking. Y'all hear that? Been knocking on the door frame of your heart. Some of you have been thinking, well, I just wait a little while. Don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. Say yes to Jesus and watch your world get turned upside down. Say yes to grace, something that you're not working for, but you do work from. Watch God do something great in your life. I remember when I was in Kenya in Africa years ago, and we were at this school, and there's probably 400 high schoolers, high school young men who were there. And we were in this open air courtyard. It wasn't in a church. It didn't have, you know, everything nice and neat. And these young men come out and they had these green blazers. I'll never forget it. And they're standing there and listen to me. They did not want to be there. And guess who was preaching that day? Some of y'all might not want to be here right now. But I was up there and I was preaching and I was telling them about Jesus and I was talking about grace. And they were looking down. They're poking each other. It was really getting through to them, everybody. And they were just not into it at all. And then I'm telling you, something happened in the spirit. It wasn't that I just became Billy Graham all of a sudden, but something happened in the spirit, and their countenance and their posture started to change. They started to stand up straight. They started looking intently at what I had to say from God's word. They started leaning in. And I said, who wants to receive Jesus today? And around 300 to 400 young men who were there ran to the altar. What am I saying? When God's grace pours out, receive it. When he says, I'm coming after you, say, Lord, here I am. Have all of me. Have everything that I've got. I'm giving it to you. I love that Ephesians chapter 2 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved. It is through faith. You cannot receive if you do not believe. Billy had to receive that. He had to believe that was a $100 bill. And that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Y'all following me today? The second thing is this, extend grace. Greatest trade of all time. First is receive grace. Second thing is extend grace. When you have received, it is imperative that now we extend. It is not easy to extend grace to people sometimes. But there is nothing more attractive than a grace-filled Christian. People will say things, and I think, what is wrong with you? How many of y'all know people like that? They just say stuff to you, you're like, what? Where'd you grow up? Like, what's wrong with you? Who talks like that? I'm serious, I think that in my head. I don't say it out loud, but I think it. And it is so easy to harbor bitterness and unforgiveness. And hear me, some of you've been hurt bad. Things that have been done to you or your family is just an expression of evil. And I'm not in any way dismissing that or acting like it's insignificant. It is very significant. But there is an expectation that God has for us who have received that now we extend. We receive freely and we give freely. I thought about it this way. Any Costco shoppers in the house? Okay, good. 8 o'clock, never heard of Costco. I love Costco. I love going to Costco. The people treat you nice. It's a big space. We got 4 kids, so, man, we buy in bulk. And they just got great customer service, the lighting, everything. I just love it. Should receive royalties from that place, no matter how to talk about it. But I love the samples at Costco. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I will be pushing the cart, the buggy, and some lady or man will say, excuse me, sir, would you like a sample? How many do I get? I say, absolutely. And they'll give you a sample. They'll have like this pretzel, or they'll have this like pizza or a wing, and they'll give you a sample. Man, I have 6 of us in our family. I make everybody get a sample. My kid's like, I don't want a sample. Yes, you do want a sample. I eat so much, I don't have to eat dinner that night, everybody. This is a strategic move by me. I just keep coming back and forth, just eating samples. What are they doing? What are they doing with that? They're giving you something free, believing that you're gonna taste it and like it and go buy it. I wonder how great our lives taste to people who need Jesus. That they get around us, and they say, ooh, man, look how kind they are. Look how loving they are. Look how grace-filled they are. I saw the way they handled that situation, and it's attractive to them. So they say, I want what you've got. And what an amazing witness tool, just by living like Jesus wants you to live. You know, Pastor Mike, I work for Pastor Mike. I don't know if you know that. He's my boss. Everybody know that? He's watching right now. I love you, Pastor Mike. He's my boss. I represent him. You know, I don't just go into environments and think, Pastor Mike asked me to go do something. I just go in there. I'm just thinking, hey, I'm David Ray. I got something to say to you. This is how I'd handle this situation. I don't go in like that. I have what's called the Haman filter. And I think to myself, literally, how would Pastor Mike want me to talk to this guy? I know what I would love to say, but what does he want me to say to this person? And what do? I have this filter to make sure I represent him the way he should be represented. How much more important it is that we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who died and was buried and was raised for me and for you, that we represent him in a way that people say, my goodness, that is amazing. I want that. I'm so confused when people just say, well, I'm just gonna be who I am. You don't like me? Go ahead and be on your way. This is me. I think, didn't Jesus come to change who I am? I don't think y'all are getting this. This is how I talk to people. It's just how, you know, they do me that. I don't get to do that. Like that. And they talk so fast, you get it. I think to myself, you don't just represent you. I don't just represent me. I have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. The way I lead my family should be an extension of grace. The way I serve people should be an extension of grace. The way I forgive people should be an extension of grace. Colossians chapter 3, check this out. It says, make allowance. Everybody say allowance. I love that. He's saying, go ahead and put it in the line item of your budget sheet because people are gonna do dumb stuff. Go ahead and make an allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, everybody say remember. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must, it's not optional, you must forgive others. One of the greatest chains and bondages that the enemy will bring on our lives is unforgiveness and hate and bitterness towards other people. Hear me. Do not hold on to unforgiveness. We have received much. Now God expects and will give you, hear me, the power to extend to people in need. Love what the word says. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, and I'm gonna close. Here he has been taken and he's been before all these different courts. He was in multiple religious courts where they were condemning him. The Jews couldn't kill him, so they wanted to get him in front of Pilate, in front of Herod. And during that process, he had been beaten. His beard was pulled out. Later, after the time with Pilate we read earlier, he was whipped on his back. His body was just torn to shreds. He'd be nailed upon a cross where the Romans used 5-inch nail spikes to pierce through his hands and his feet. I want you to picture it. He had a crown of thorns in his head. They had mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, ridiculed him. treated him like garbage. Here Jesus hangs on the cross, and he has seven statements in total on the cross. But the first statement, the very first thing that comes out of his mouth is this, from Luke chapter 23. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine saying that? Can you imagine going through that, making that trade? I would have been a terrible savior. Because I'm telling you right now, I would have smoked them all. I would have Thanos'd the whole group. There's no doubt in my mind. But Jesus is not like me. And he's not like you. He is perfect. He is full of love. He is full of grace. He is full of mercy. And in this moment and on this day, the greatest trade in the history of mankind was made. The one who was in control was Jesus, the Nazarene, the Son of God. And on that day, I want you to hear me. He traded his life for mine. I deserve death. But Jesus gives me life. I deserve judgment, but Jesus gives me mercy. I deserve separation from the Father, but Jesus gives me unity for the Father. And I've just come today to tell you this: receive his grace and extend his grace. Don't minimize what God has done for you. Don't just say, "Oh, I'll just live for God some days and I'll do my thing the rest of the days." No, my friend. He has given you everything. Be all in with him. Be all about him. Don't just come to church on Sundays and I'm just going to punch my little card here and just go and live. I don't want to live throughout the week. No, we are bought with the price of his precious blood. He has justified us. He's declared us as righteous. And one day, we will be with him forever in eternity. How many of you thankful for that day? How many of you thankful for that? Come on, can we clap our hands in here today?
Thank you for listening. Take a moment and subscribe so you can become a part of the community here and stay up to date with what is happening at Healing Place Church. For more information about HPC, visit healingplacechurch.org.